and turn to page 138. Page 138. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Let's all stand, shall we?
Smart enough, said we, not you, we are not smart enough to remember everything that we've ever said, but God is. I think we have to be careful about what we sing. Are you willing? Might just be next door across the street. You may be special and he may call you to the United Kingdom. Our missionary Jonathan Heaton is here from the United Kingdom. Of course, that is Linda's brother. He's here to see his mom. You're praying for his mom, so keep that up. But in a little bit, he's going to give us a little update on the United Kingdom and what's happening there. He's been there. We helped him get there, I mean, in a little way. And we had to, because it's Linda's brother. We didn't want to. Wherever he leads, I'll go. God isn't saying, boy, does that sound nice. Here's what God's saying. Do they mean that? You should know, right? We're not just singing songs. We're not just making noise. This is about God. This is about worship. And so when we sing those songs, say, you weren't singing, yeah, because I'm not willing to go. I am. I'm listening and I'm challenged by hearing you and I'm busy. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Ready to pray? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you sent someone to tell us about Christ. Thank you that whoever it was in their lives, in my lives, it was a lady and my mother-in-law, but then she wasn't, but she said what you wanted her to say, and I needed to hear it. Thank you that she went where you wanted her to go. And everyone in this room probably could say, yes, that's true of me too. Lord, I pray that we will be used. You didn't just save us to save us. You saved us to use us. Whether it's the United Kingdom or Lakeville or wherever it is, somebody needs to hear. So please, God, use us. And I pray that every young person tonight, teenager on down, I pray they'll hear the truth and it would do something to them, and that they'll know, God, just show them that there's something about what they've heard they need to decide on. So work in their hearts. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You could be seated.
Page 139, our best. Page 139.
God heard that one? Wait, you wish he didn't, right? Hey, just so you know, when we think, I can't think, I need visuals. So this tape up here, we're thinking about redoing the platform, making it a little bigger. I want to be closer to you. So and I know someday I'm going to fall off one of these edges. So if it's like that, I read the statistics. The statistics, I hope, are less that I'll lose my balance and tumble and you'll have to watch it. Just get your phone out. If you see me tripping, grab your phone and videotape it. So we're just looking at it. It would be rounded, same height, be steps all the way around, and we would contrast. I miss the old place where we had the contrasting carpet up here. So we're just thinking about it, and this is all we're doing. If it never happens, it never happens. So if you're one, now you know, squelch the rumors. If there's rumors out there that it means something else, it doesn't. We're going to pray. I'll give you an update on the calendar and then a couple things on the prayer list. Then when we're done praying, I've asked Jonathan if he would come up, give us an update on what's happening. Of course, he's not home to do that. He's home to see his mom and dad. And so you continue to pray for them. So on your bulletin, if you have it, if you don't, we remind you, there's a jail service on the 19th. Thanksgiving dinner is the 24th. That is a week from Sunday. The sign-up list is on the board. So make sure that if you are, you know, we've talked about this before. Hi, Jarell. Hi, Stacy. Stacy is the best waitress that Angelo's has. Ask for somebody else, but she's the best one. Thanksgiving dinner, I haven't looked at it, but if you're interested, you could come if you don't bring food. If you want to bring a pack of cookies or a pack of Oreos, if you want to bring don't bring lunch meat. That stuff is poison, I guess. They're pulling all the lunch meat because something's wrong with it. But, so just bring pie. Pie is safe. Pie and Cool Whip. So bring pie. There's a sign-up list. See that. Ladies, going to Chicago on the 5th. The 10th, the ladies are having their Christmas party at the Pendles. If you have questions about that, you can find Lynn. Ask her. If you're questioning the trip to Chicago, you can find my wife, of course. They're all working next door with the kids. 15th, we're having our all-church Christmas party. It's not that far away, is it? It's a month away from Sunday. And the ladies are going to their seminar, Scotts, Michigan. Christmas Child shoeboxes, if you have questions, you can see Shirley about that. They're in the back. Prayer list, if you have a prayer list, I'm going to pray over this, not all of it. In a little bit, we're going to pray. Salvation, we believe that for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you only get to heaven God's way. You don't get to heaven any other way. That's what the Bible teaches. If somebody disagrees with you, just say, isn't it great that you can believe whatever you want? They don't have to believe what you do, but that's what God said. For instance, I think the speed limit should be much higher. For me, some of you should not drive. I was stopping at a stop sign today, and somebody pulled around me and didn't stop and almost hit these people. So that just makes me insane. So I said, I'm going to say something to her. And Amy said, she's an old lady. Don't worry about it. So we parked. She parked right in front of us. Amy said, don't say anything. I said, I'm just going to encourage her. She got out. I knew her. So I waved. I don't know that she knew that she ran around me and almost hit someone, and maybe she's on a mission. I don't know. That has nothing to do with salvation. Pray for those on the list that need salvation. Shut-ins, those that can't come. Cancer, Ed just informed me, almost on the bottom, second from the bottom, Teresa Spear. That is Ed and Donna's daughter. She has cancer. They removed it, sent her home. She might be cancer-free, but would you continue? Some of you know her, some, maybe, Teresa and Jeff. So pray for her. She has cancer. And then Deanna Denton, that is Wayne Denton, Indiana Baptist College, the interim president. That's his wife. And we really need to pray for her. She's going through chemo, and it is just brutal. Sweet woman, we've spent a lot of time with her, sat, and we've eaten with them. Wonderful woman, loves the Lord, knows that this is God's plan, and God will do what he wants. But it's just brutal. The chemo is just brutal. So pray for her. Her husband, of course, interim president at Indiana Baptist College. And then Pastor of the Week, Tom Harrison. That's where the ladies go in January for the ladies' conference. And how on earth did Jonathan know he would be the missionary of the week? So he came all the way from the United Kingdom just to show you that he does exist. And that when you pray for him, now you see that beautiful, young, intellectual face. Health needs. The Flats, of course, still recovering from a horrible accident, car wreck, totaled their car. Pat Stokes still having seizures. Pray for him. The Heatons, that especially, look, the dad needs it. Their dad, but Ron was saying, do you want to give a quick update? Well, one of you? Linda, who do you want? Linda's walking in. You want to give? Jonathan, give a, how about do that when you get up here? But pray for his mother and Linda's mother, Joyce. Still in the hospital, still dealing. She's still bleeding internally. And so whatever else you want to add to that, Jonathan, do that. But pray, and pray for, if you're married, you know how hard it is when your wife goes through something. You know when you say, I wish it was me and not you? That's because we're lazy and we don't, it's hard because you don't know what to do. You don't know how to, you know, you want to ease their pain. You don't want them to go through it. So pray. Pray for the dad. I pray for them, especially Harold, every day. And have been, Linda's mom and Jonathan's mom. So pray about that. Jim Reed, still having a rough time. They had to remove part of his foot. And all that just doesn't heal. You know what I mean? Like, the body's an amazing thing. You can get a gouge or a cut, and the body knows what to do. But when it's that drastic, it's a big deal. John Utley, of course, back to preaching, but had surgery, and he can't yell. He can talk, but he can't yell. So pray for him. He's a pastoring. Our granddaughter recovering slowly. She had completely tore her Achilles. So they have reattached that. It's a slow recovery. Donna, and that is Rhonda Campfield's mom. She's there now, right, bringing her mom, going to bring her back for a little bit. So you join me. You join me in prayer. Would you do that? However you want to do it. You can kneel. You can come up here if you want. I'm just going to start praying, and you agree with me. Lord Jesus, thank you that you left heaven to pay for our sin. Lord, I pray that we'll act like that's what happened. I pray that we will not be silent and that we'll be a testimony in the way we talk, the way we live, the way we look. And so for every person on this list, they're connected to someone. They're not just strangers. We got out of the phone book. God, these are family members. These are neighbors, friends. And I know there's so many more that could be on here. Our prayer is that they'll be reached. And that's why they're there. And Lord, I know that, boy, there's people in my life, family members and neighbors that I pray specifically for that need to know Jesus as their Savior. It doesn't seem like a big deal now, but as they get close to death, it is. And if Jesus comes back and raptures all of us, it's going to be a big deal. And so, Lord, I pray that we would see that it's a big deal now. And for each one of these and the ones in our life, co-workers, so many people that we're around that ought to know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And when he said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, he meant that. That's final. That means there's no other way, no other Savior. And I pray that we will make sure that people know that. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to pray and witness to them. We think tonight of those with cancer. We mentioned the Ramsbottom's daughter, Teresa. We pray that, Lord, we wish every time we prayed that we'd pray once and you'd answer. And we know that's not the way you want it. We pray and pray and pray. And I heard someone say, I prayed and I wanted God to heal my dad and he wouldn't. So I'm mad at God. I'm done with God. Lord, you're so much smarter than we are. And we may not get it now, but you have a reason. Bible says, as for God, his way is perfect. So we know that all that you do, when you do it, why you do it, it's just absolutely perfect. And so we're trusting you. We're trusting that you would work in every one of these people on this list with cancer, Teresa Spears, for Mrs. Denton. Lord, how we would love to see you work in her life and heal her of that disease. There are those that are recovering, be it the Flaps from a wreck, Pat Stokes, a wreck that God was caused by seizures, but he's still having. And we ask you, Lord, give the doctors wisdom or just go ahead. Lord, you can. It's like the guy that came to you and said, speak the word only. And Lord, I know it doesn't even take that from you. So that's our prayer. We're believing you to work in him and work in Joyce Heaton. Give her healing, Lord. We see what goes on and the doctors shrug and say, oh, we're not sure. Well, we know you're sure. We know you're able. We know what you could do. You left us a whole book full of all the miracles and the things. And John said, if you put them all in a book, the world couldn't contain the books. So, Lord, based upon that, we're asking you to work in her and give healing, give strength. Give strength to Harold and Father for all the rest. And we mentioned tonight Jim Reed, who needs healing and recovering, for John Utley, for our granddaughter Kate. Just give them healing, please. And Lord, I think of Tom Harrison, who pastors up in Scott, Prairie Baptist. He had heart surgery at the beginning of this year, and I'm asking you to continue to give him strength and healing and encouragement. Thank you for the Heatons. Thank you for their work in the UK. Lord, just use them. Start that fire. Keep that fire going. Use them for the glory of God. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jonathan's going to come. Then we'll take the offerings. Don't put your money away.
Well, good evening, church, and thankful to be with you this evening. And I tried to sneak in right at the end so I didn't have to do anything, and he still found me. He still caught me. I think Kenzie and him were working together or something. But let me just read a verse for you, and a verse that's been special to my wife and I and our church over the last few weeks. Joshua 1, verse number 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I'm thankful over the last year and a half since we last were here, And again, just on a short trip, and we're able to give an update then. I'm thankful the Lord has been with us ever since and been with you ever since. And if I can give you just a very quick update, I know I have just a few moments. Just a very quick update. A year and a half ago, I think, when we were here, I gave you a few prayer requests that we were asking the Lord to do. And with the work there in Carlisle in England, and we were praying for a second minibus with our Sunday school, and we were praying towards a chartering service. And so we had had an opening service, but had not had a chartering service where we constituted ourselves together as a church to observe the ordinances given by the Lord, to have a membership, things like that. We were praying for that. And praise the Lord, just over a year ago in October, the Lord provided and we bought a second minibus. And I'm thankful to say since then, we are actively praying and saving for a third minibus. And please pray with us. The money's the easy thing. We need a driver and we need a rider. And we need someone to go out and to bring the children. And we praise the Lord for how many are coming in. And I was gone this past Sunday. And but my wife sent me pictures. And we had 67 children in Sunday school on the Lord's Day. And we praise the Lord for that. It's the most we've ever had. And we just have two 17-seat minibuses getting them all in and making multiple trips and fitting one or two extras per seat. And they're getting in. But we desperately need a third minibus. Please pray with us about that. In December, this past December, we had our chartering service. And praise the Lord, 8 of us came together and constituted ourselves as the Edward Street Baptist Church. And since then, we've been observing the Lord's table monthly. And then also, just recently had our very first baptismal service. And we were able to baptize 3 people. There was a man who trusted the Lord as his Savior, called upon Christ for salvation during our opening service. We had a tent mission leading up to the opening service, and a man whose wife had been saved 35 years before, and he had built up a wall. I think I told you about him last time I was here. He had built up a wall against God, against salvation. He's a funeral director, and so he's been in every single church, every single funeral service, every denomination. He's heard it all and decided none of it was true, and for 35 years built up a wall, and he came running out of the tent the last night of the tent mission, and the theme that the pastor had been preaching on, that was preaching that tent mission, was the different times when God says, come. And Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. And on that last night, he was preaching, and he came running out the back of the tent to me. He said, Jonathan, I'm coming. I'm coming. I want to be saved. I need to be saved. And from the moment he was saved, he's been a completely new man. And praise the Lord, just over a year after he was born again, we had a baptismal service. And just a week leading up to the baptismal service, his granddaughter came to me and said, Pastor, I want to be baptized. I said, now, Tiana, we believe that baptism is believer's baptism. You must know the Lord as your Savior. And she said, oh, I know. I've called upon the Lord. I know I'm born again. I said, Tiana, when did this happen? She said, oh, a year ago at summer camp. And just the night before, I had told my wife, Gracie, I said, you know, about this family, I believe one of them will eventually come to us and say, because they're so quiet, one of them will come to us one day and say, oh, I've been born again for over a year and just never told anybody. And so during our baptismal service, I got to baptize the very first man I've ever baptized, the very first man born again in our church plant, David, his granddaughter Tiana, and then a 92-year-old man that had known the Lord as long as I've been alive, since 1995, but had never been baptized. And so we were able to baptize 3 on our very first baptismal service. We praise the Lord for that. And just 2 weeks ago, I'm running out of time here, just 2 weeks ago, we had our version of a vacation Bible school. We call it a holiday Bible club. And in England, you don't have vacations, you have holidays. And we had our holiday Bible club during the half-term holiday, and we've been praying for 100 children. And the very first night, we had 94. And the next night, we had 104. And the third night, we had 101. We had 126 different children in our holiday Bible club. And we praise the Lord for that. And the amazing thing is, it's wonderful to have that during a special emphasis. But we are praying, Lord, please let them stick. Let them be plugged in. That very next Sunday, we were missing most of our regular children, and we still had over 50 in Sunday school, and I think 10 to 12 brand new ones in that Sunday school. And we praise the Lord for that. And one really amazing testimony, and then I'll just tell you about my mom. One amazing testimony about the Holiday Bible Club. Our church, I'm sure I've explained this to you before a year ago, but our church was a very different church plant than some of the other church plants that we've worked with. Normally, you go into plant a church, the building's been closed, there's nobody there whatsoever. Well, this one was very different. They contacted us before they shut down. And so we started a church plant with 40 people. And we praise the Lord for that. There's been challenges because they were previously a different denomination. And we've had to work through some issues with that and work through some different beliefs. But that congregation is aged and aged and aged. And this year we had the least number of helpers we've ever had for Holiday Bible Club. We had 126 children, and not counting my wife and I, and not counting our two Bible college students, we had five helpers for adults. That's hard with over 100 children. We praise the Lord, about 15 of our teenagers stepped up and said, "Pastor, I won't take part, but I'll help." And they came 10 a.m. every morning and stayed till 9 p.m. every evening. They walked in the morning, and they helped with running the crafts and running the games and acting in the Bible lessons. And they helped with supporting the workers that were teaching, and they led children around and helped to corral them all. And we praise the Lord that though some of the older ones can't anymore, our younger ones are stepping up. And some of them don't even know the Lord, but they say, I want to help. And they're hearing the gospel as they're there helping. And so please continue to pray. If you'll pray very specifically, we're praying, as I'm sure you're praying, we're praying for laborers. And we desperately need laborers. God is continuing to grow. Since last year as well, my time is gone, but since last year as well, we've been able to start a university Bible study. The University of Cumbria is just two blocks up the road from us. You can see it from our church. And we've had two university students coming into the church since then, the beginning of that Bible study. And all around all the other ministries, we praise the Lord, they're growing. And we're seeing numerical growth. But church, if you'll pray for this, we want to see spiritual growth. And it's amazing to see people coming in. But it's much more amazing to see people come to know Christ as Savior. And so if you'll please pray for us in that way, pray for laborers and pray for salvation. And if you'll continue to pray for my mom, thank you very much for your prayers. And mom is up and down. And she's doing so much better today than what we've seen. And yet there's so much the doctors don't know. And she did have her leg amputated right above her right knee. And because of that, the shock of that sent her into kidney failure and with other things and other things that are in there as well. And then she has AFib, and that's been very bad. She'll sit there and she won't move, and her heartbeat will go from 32 to 150 and back and forth and back and forth. And we praise the Lord. She's stronger this morning. She was able to feed herself this morning. She's able to brush her teeth this morning. But there's many things they don't know. She's still bleeding internally. And her kidneys are not functioning. She's not had any dialysis since I've been here, but she's had four blood transfusions since I've been here. And they're trying to use those to jumpstart her kidneys. And it's not worked to this point. And so if you'll please pray, there's much more that goes into that. My dad, as you know, he's pastoring, and the congregation there is very small, just one sweet old lady that's been my Sunday school teacher growing up, and her sons come along sometimes, and I'm sure you've heard they had some problems with the church building itself, so they've been meeting at my parents' home, and there's much wisdom that is needed for that. The building will eventually be condemned. If something's not done one way or the other. And but my dad's at the point now where he just can't. And if you'll pray for them, there's much wisdom. I truly don't believe my mom will ever come home. And she'll have to be in either a rehab center or a care home, a nursing home or something like that. And if you'll just pray for wisdom. And my dad is still working, and he needs to retire. And if you'll pray for wisdom for that as well. And just in all these things, I'm praying for healing. And whether in this life or full healing, I'm praying for healing. And if you'll pray in that way. But we love you. I'm sorry that the two best additions to the family, the two best parts of the family, are not here. And Gracie's doing well. Henry is now 2 years old. And I don't even know. I think he was 6 months old last time we were here. But there's much I could say, but I can tell you after. My time is gone. But thank you for praying for us. And I'm very thankful we can be here. My wife says hello, and if my son knew I was here, he would say hello as well. Pastor, thank you very much.
Remember when we gave our parents a hard time when we were little, and then when they get older, they give us a hard time? Ushers, will you come? We're going to give. If you can give something. I'm sure the Lord can use it. He'll bless you. The blessing is on the giver. Not because you get. The blessing is on the giver. That God said that. I didn't come up with that. So if it doesn't work, you talk to him about it. Don't step on the new platform. Yeah, get up there. Pray with me, would you? Father, thank you for all you give us. We are too often, you had to tell us not to be greedy, not to be covetous, because that's just in us. So we give tonight so that we can prove to you what you mean to us and that we're willing to give it up, let go of it. Use it, God. And as we heard from Jonathan, all the issues with his mom and dad, we pray that you'll work. We need you to work, Lord. We're asking you to do that. Would you just work mightily so they know it? They'll talk about it. A lot of people will talk about it. Thank you that you can. I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Page 140 in your hymnals, Where He Leads Me. Page 140. Let's all stand, shall we? Be seated.
Amen.
Pastor?
I'm coming down here because this way you don't think I'm preaching. Daniel chapter 3. I know you know that chapter. I know you know the story. But God wrote a book that's always fresh. You could read his book because it's quick, as he calls it, or living. And it can always be a blessing to you. That's why you ought to read it every day and it let it bless you, because it will. Daniel chapter 3. I saw this and kind of spoke to me. And I'm not, you know, some say, you know, you preach from the same chapters a lot, same theme. Are you running out of material? I am not. I just like stuff that works, and this works. Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar made an image. If you can make something, it's not worth worshiping. He made an image. It was huge. He said, we're going to play music wherever you are. You need to bow down. He didn't say just fall down. He said fall down and worship. Worship the image. The Bible calls it image, and that is the same word for the word idol. Your idols don't look like that. Some of your idols look different. Some of your idols are green paper. I don't know how much I need to explain to you. Money. Some of your idols are four tires. We used to say metal. Now they're plastic. Some of these cars. Have you seen one of them Tesla trucks? Man, are those ugly. I mean, they're supposed to be. They're just ugly. If you have one, good for you. It's still ugly. Your idol may not be this gigantic statue, idol, image. Might be a person that you worship. Might be a habit. Might be a thin white piece of paper with dried up leaves in it. Oh, Pastor, I would never do. Come on, my nose is not broke. Your idol might be alcohol, gambling, pornography. Your idol might be you. The mirror. So in all this crowd of people, when the music starts playing, three men don't go down. Kind of obvious. So before the music, stay with me, before the music played, they all looked the same. Just people living, walking, doing, going, talking, laughing. But once the music played, it says that everybody fell down except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That would not be hard to miss, especially if you're looking for it. They tell the king, there are certain Jews, the guys that you brought over from Israel, and they are not bowing. They bring them before the king. He said, is it true? Remember how they said it? In the veto vernacular? They said, you bet your life. We don't care about you. We think your statue's dumb. This is all in there in the Hebrew. You got to know Hebrew. We think it's stupid. We think this whole idea is crazy nutso. And we serve God. You pulled us away from our God, but we brought him with us. And so even though we're here, and even though you want us to worship this idol, this image, we're not gonna. He said, I will throw you in the furnace. I'll give you one more chance. They said, we don't need another chance because if you put us back out there in the music place, we're not going down. Verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now you realize the king is so mad, he heats the furnace up seven times what it usually. I mean, if you die in fire, but you make the fire hotter, you really don't burn any quicker. Like at home, when you go, I'm cold. So you take the thermostat. I know I'm old-fashioned. You take the thermostat, you go, 98, it'll get warm in here. It still has to warm up. Just because you touched it and put it on 98 doesn't mean count to 1,000, 1,000, 2. There you go, 98 degrees. It still has to heat. So this furnace that is now hotter, when you burn up, you're burned up. It doesn't matter, you know, if it's hot or really hot, but the king is upset. And you remember when he got those strong men to bind them? Like, that would matter. Hey, let's really tie them up, because when they're in there melting, we don't want them to get away. So you remember, don't you? The strong man that threw them in died. This is where it gets interesting. Back up, verse 22. It says, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't even get in. They didn't fall in. It was just so hot around it that they died. Go ahead. I can read your mind. Go ahead. Go ahead. Isn't it funny that it could kill those guys on the outside, but it didn't kill Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego on the inside? I saw that verse, and I knew the story. Let's read on. Then Nebuchadnezzar, verse 24, the king was astonied and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. Verse 25, he answered and said, lo, I see four men. Loose. Hey, remember them strong guys that bound them? They weren't that strong because they're loose. Say, well, come on, the fire burned off the ropes or whatever they were. Okay. So the king looks in. I don't know how close he is, but if you just saw someone melt because they were close, you wouldn't get too close, would you? Remember when your parents used to say that? Don't get too close. He looks in and he sees, the Bible says, he answered and said, verse 25, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. If you were the king and they didn't do what you said, wouldn't that really tick you off? Huh? So what do? Do you say, well, make it hotter? They already made it hotter. And that didn't work. Listen to me. When you belong to God, nothing can hurt you. I mean, they could say what they want. They could do what they want. So now the king says, we threw three in, right? I mean, I don't know how he forgot. But it says, you read in verse 23, these three men. And then in verse 24, it said, didn't we not cast three men bound? Verse 25, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. Look at this. They have no hurt. Did you ever burn yourself, get one of them big blisters? He can see in the fire that the fire has not affected them. You think they expected to die? I do. Say, well, what if they had more faith and they felt like, no, the Son of God. You know, we want to think that because it makes us look smart, but you and I know when we go through that, that's not how we think. They stood for God. They said, look, we're not bowing down, and if God doesn't deliver us, we're still going to serve him.
He goes, okay, prepare to burn. Verse 25, they have no hurt. The form of the fourth is like the Son of God. All I can tell you is he must have been brighter than the fire. Something was different. I mean, we know he can walk on water. They're in there walking, right? Now he's walking on fire. Verse 26, and Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. Did you ever do something you didn't think about it? You said, ooh, I shouldn't have done that. I'm wondering if he got near, because that's where those strong guys died. But he is so intrigued. Can I just say to you, I think once he looked into that furnace and he saw three men turn into four, something happened in his heart. Something changed. You say, man, he's a wicked dude. Yeah, but God came to save and die for wicked dudes. And I think he looks in and he sees that there must be a God. Because remember, they told him, we are not going to. He said, our God, verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. Verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. He spake and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, ye servants, watch this, ye servants of the Most High God. Wait a minute. He thought his image was. Not anymore. Hey, listen to me. It may take someone seeing you go through the furnace to get them to see that your God's bigger than theirs. I don't want to go to the furnace. I don't want to go through that. But God knows what he's doing, and he uses that to show people how big he is. Look what the king said this. He said, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, captains, the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon, watch, verse 27, upon whose bodies, watch, the fire had no power. Did the fire have power on those three strong guys? It didn't have power on God's guys. But you don't know that till you get in. I mean, here's three guys throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace, and they die. And they look back and go, wow, it must be hot here. The fire, verse 27, the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed. Amy has a picture of me. I was lighting the grill. And it wasn't light. And then all of a sudden it lit, but I was looking in it to see if it was lit. Don't look at me like you've never done this. I look in that grill, and you know how it kind of just goes bang? And it just took off my eyebrows and all the hair right in front. And it was kind of hot, but I didn't know that. I went and I said, I got the grill going. And man, she is laughing. She was on the ground laughing. I said, what's wrong? She said, your eyebrows are gone. She said, the front of your hair is singed and gone. She said, let me take a picture. Verse 27, who's there? The princes, the governors, the captains, the king's counselors saw these men. The fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, listen to what he says. Blessed be the God. He thought his God was good. Huge. Some say it's 8 stories tall. The music would play and everybody would bow down. And whether Nebuchadnezzar thought that was him or not, he felt like they're worshiping him. And God didn't like that. And God used this. Verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar spake, said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants." Verse 15 says, "Now if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." He said, Nebuchadnezzar told them, "Who is that God that should deliver you out of my hands?" Guess what, buddy? Guess what? See it? He said he sent his angel. Nebuchadnezzar said, "I've seen this." He sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. "Therefore, I make a decree," verse 29, "that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces." That one scares me. Boy, I would love to see God get them out of that. Can you see all them pieces coming back together? Hey, they cut a hand off and it just glues right back. Cut a foot off, it just glues right back. Nebuchadnezzar said, "No, this time, if you don't worship the right God, that's what he said, we'll cut you in pieces." He said, "In their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. How's your life going right now? Just wondering. Just wondering, is it great? Man, if it is, praise God. But I'm not talking to you. I mean, thank God that you're excited and I'm excited for you and God bless you. But I'm talking to those of us who feel like we're headed for the furnace. You're either headed there, you're in it, or you just got out of it. You might be going through a big, big hard time. You may be going through a not so big hard time. It may just be a problem in your life that won't go away. Life can get really difficult. Peter called it fiery trials. 1 Peter 4, verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." It's not strange. It's going to happen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "Hey, they grabbed us out of we're in their country, but we're not worshiping their God. We've done everything else. We're here. We're not bowing to their God." And it was a fiery trial, literally. Peter said in the first chapter of 1 Peter, that every time we go through a trial, it just makes our faith stronger. He said, 1 Peter 1, 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found under praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When Nebuchadnezzar went in to Jerusalem, he took all the gold. He took everything. He destroyed the temple. And he took all the things that they had used for God. And when he would have one of his wicked parties, he would use that stuff that he stole from the Christians in Jerusalem, like mocking them. My Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." He grabs the best and the brightest young men and he tries to make them Babylonians. Daniel went. These three went. He builds this image, Nebuchadnezzar, and they refuse to bow. They are accused of not doing what they're supposed to do. Look at verse 16 if you're there, Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, we don't have to rethink this decision. This is the decision we need to make. We are not careful. What are they saying to the king? They're saying to the king that we want you to know that we worship God. We don't bow to any other god, and our God will help us as long as we don't bow to any other god. They'd rather die than disobey their God. They refuse to compromise. Every single day, your faith is going to be tested. And you and I have the choice to do right or do what's easy. You could please God or you could please people. You can worship God or you can worship an idol. They say to him in verse 17, no matter what we face, God is able. If it be so, watch this, verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Watch, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, verse 18, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Hey, let's just get real for a minute. God's able to heal, but he doesn't always heal. Say, man, I'm having a hard time. I'm trusting God to provide. And you know what? He can. But sometimes he doesn't. Say, do you know why? Of course I don't know why. We've all been there. They wanted God to deliver them. They didn't want to die. They realized that God may not do it their way, but they would still trust him no matter what. Verse 18. But if not, they wanted the king to know that their God was worth serving no matter what the outcome was. Is your God worth serving no matter what the outcome? People know that. How you doing? You're a Christian. How you doing? Going through a really hard time. God's still God. In fact, it would be more fun to say, hey, you know what? They played the music. We ran away. You did. They didn't catch you. Nope. Wow. Wouldn't it be more fun to say, we wouldn't bow. They caught us. What'd they do? Threw us in the furnace. Did you die? Nope. Smell. We don't even smell like it. Wouldn't that be more fun? One more thing before we go. Was Jesus in there with them? What do you think he said to them? Can I just offer a couple of suggestions? God is so proud of you. I also think he might have said, hey, watch this. Nebuchadnezzar is going to trust Christ. And they said, he's a mean, wicked man. Yeah, but what he just saw is going to blow his mind. And then all of a sudden they hear this voice, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come forth. And the Lord said, see, I'll wait here, see. Or wherever he did. I don't know what he did. I mean, if your God, fire doesn't hurt you. Do you realize that my faith in God means that I have faith that he can deliver me, but first I believe he's God. He's king. He is the king. He is the God. He can do whatever he wants. I don't even deserve to be here. We say it, and we say it so trite. If I got what I deserve, I'd be in hell. Do you really believe that? I mean, we just say it because it sounds good. You know, we say that, and people inside are going, ooh, that was a nice answer. But do we really realize that he's God and we don't deserve anything? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are not saying God owes us. We didn't bow down. He owes us. He doesn't owe you. They're acknowledging, though, that he's still king. Do you understand? The fire had no power. The king is so moved by that, that he worships God. If he hadn't worshiping God in verse 28, I don't know what worship is. Blessed, he says, blessed, blessed be the God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God may not always deliver you when you want to deliver you, but he'll always be with you. That's all I need. I just need him with me. If he's with me, I'm okay. Joseph was in jail. He didn't like it, but he liked that the Lord was with him. So that outweighed where he was. These three men thought that they would die in the furnace. Instead, they meet Jesus. Isn't that how God works? We think, oh, Lord, let me, I don't want to die. And then they go, you're going to die. And we go, wow, this, I thought God was better than this. And then we go through it, and there he is. Could you imagine when they got in the fire, all of a sudden they heard, psst, psst, over here. And they look, and there's Jesus standing. And they're like, what are you doing here? And he said to them, you want me to leave? Hey, the fourth man in the fire. He's always there. He's always there. When you think you're going to die, he's going to show up. That's what kind of God he is. When you die, he's going to show up. Well done. Welcome home. When you get to heaven, you won't think, oh, man, can't believe I died. You're going to say, I'm glad I died. Hello? That's heaven. That's heaven. If you don't die, there's a reason that you're here, and Jesus will speak to you. Make sure that you do the right thing so that he can show you his power. We've got to stand for him. Hey? Everybody's excited about the election. Jesus was king before Trump won. Jesus was king before Biden won. Jesus was king before Bill Clinton won. If I keep going back, some of you will say, who? Jesus was king before Nebuchadnezzar was king. The fire has no power. If you love God and you serve God and you follow God and you trust God, the fire has no power. Pray with me, your head bowed, your eyes closed. Lord Jesus, may we live knowing the fire has no power over us. If they died immediately, they would have been in your presence. They didn't die. Nebuchadnezzar would have never got saved. He would have said, look how tough I am. But you decided to show everyone. When you're a Christian, when you love God, when you follow God, the fire has no power. I'm assuming the guys that tied him up weren't Christian. So the fire took them. And I know that's symbolic. But I'm glad that all of us that sit here, no matter what we go through, God, you're still going to be God. You always have been God, and you being king is the biggest thing in our life. Not what you do, not if you do it the way we want, but the fact that you're king. That you're king. Speak to us. May we trust you. May we live like we have a God that can go with us in the fire. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen.